The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Beginning of the Sedrik states, Re'ei Anechi Nesein Lifneichem Hayem, Bracha Uklala. See that I place before you today the bracha, blessing, uklala, and curse. Es ha-bracha asher tishmu al mitzvah Hashem elokeichem, asher aneichem etzaveschem hayom. The bracha, the blessing, is if you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, your God, which I have commanded you today. Yaklala, and the curse, im leis tishmu al mitzvah Hashem elokeichem, if you will not listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, your God. This pasuk, this command, is a great chidush. It's telling us something very unique, even though obviously it does not seem to be. And secondly, this serves as the cornerstone of the entire Torah. There are different types of people. The Ramban brings in his Pirush and Chumash at the end of Parshas Bay. You have people that deny the existence of the Almighty and the fact that He created the world. Kefir bi'ikor. You have other people who admit to the existence of the Almighty and the fact that He created the world, but they deny that He intimately knows what is going on in the world. Echo yoda kel v'yesh dea be'elyon. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. How does Hashem know? Does He know everything that's going on in the world? Then you have other people who admit to this, that there's a creator and He knows what's going on in the world. But they deny the Almighty's intervention in His supervision as to what takes place in the world. In other words, that people should be like the Gei Hayom, the fish of the sea. And inclusive in this is many people, out of many people, Jews included, many of the Jews who are believers, ma'amini, and even if they will believe that a Kodesh Baruch Hu intervenes in what goes on in the world and He supervises what goes on in the world, but nevertheless they believe that bracha and klala, blessing and sin, blessing and curse is in the hands of the Almighty. And this is a very, very popular notion amongst believers. In other words, let's forget about the non-believers. They certainly are way out in left field. But in the believers, who believe that the Almighty exists, and He created the world, and He knows what's going on, and He even intervenes and supervises and directs what goes on. But when it comes to bracha uklala, blessing and curse, that's in the hands of the Almighty. This is the popular notion. From this, what we just read at the beginning of our parsha, we see not like that. I am placing before you today blessing and curse. As a brocha, asher tishma al mitzvah Hashem elokeichem. Blessing is not in the hands of the Almighty. It is in your hands. If you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, if you will fulfill them, which I command you today, then there will be brocha, there will be blessing. And curse is not in the hands of the Almighty. It's in your hands. If you will not listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, then there will be curse. So this is the first very great chidush that we see. A very unique principle that the Torah is teaching us here. That even to those who have full belief in the Almighty, we must also believe that bracha and klala are not in His hands, but rather were placed in our hands. And they are dependent on the fulfillment of the mitzvahs or the non-fulfillment of the mitzvahs. A second principle we see from here, that the Adam, the person, and he alone is the achroi. He's accountable for all of his actions. Im tishmu al mitzvayisai, if you will listen to my mitzvahs and do them, then you will have brocha. If not, you will have klala. This is how it is. Very clearly stated. No middle, no gray lines, no gray areas. Brocha and klala are placed in the hands of people. And they are accountable for their acts. And the brocha and the klala are totally dependent on the fulfillment of the mitzvahs or the non-fulfillment of the mitzvahs. This is what we see from here. And this the Ramban elaborates on at the end of Parshas Bo. And he writes, Shem Yisora Torah Kula, principle of the entire Torah is that a person must realize im yase ha-mitzvahs yatzlichenu schore. If he does mitzvahs, then he will be rewarded and he will be successful. Im yavar aleihem, if he transgresses the mitzvahs, yachrisenu onshei, then heaven forbid he will receive the contrary. And he writes that ein la'otam chelek b'teiris meishar abeno at shenamin b'chol dvareinu umakereinu. This is a principle that if a person wants a portion in the Torah of Moshe, of Moses, he has to believe in. It's on this that all of the mitzvahs are based on. And he says that this is going to be revealed. This will be revealed to the whole world. For example, in both ways. For example, it is written, "V'omru kol ha'goyim alma osa Hashem kocha l'oretz hazeis," that the nations of the world will say when they will see how desolate Eretz Yisrael is, and that the nation that Israel was driven into Golus, they will say, "Al ma asa Hashem kocha l'oretz hazeis? Why did this happen?" The Omru, and they will realize, "Asher al Asher ozvu es bris Hashem elokei avosam," because they have forsaken the law of their fathers. That's from one aspect. And the same from the other aspect, it will be revealed to the whole world. It states, "V'ro kol ha'me'oret kishem Hashem nikra lecho v'yoru mimeko," that in the days to come, when all of the nations of the world will see how great Israel is and how close they are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Almighty to them, they will realize, because Shem Hashem nikra lecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed his name upon them because they have fulfilled his mitzvahs. Yorum imeko. And they will all fear him. They will fear you. So, the Ramban concludes, therefore a person should be very, very careful when it comes to the fulfillment of mitzvahs, even a light mitzvah, because through this he is bringing bracha, he's bringing blessing to himself and to the world. And also through the fulfillment of a mitzvah he testifies to all of this, that there is a God, he created the world, he knows what's going on, he supervises the world, and he has commanded us to do the mitzvahs, and he will reward us accordingly. So therefore he says one must be very, very careful in the fulfillment of mitzvahs. A little further on in the Sedra it states in Perek Yud Beis Posachov Ches, Shmor Ushmato is kol advorim ha'ela asher aneichim etzaveko. Guard and you shall listen is kol advorim ha'ela, everything which I have commanded you. L'manitav l'chol avanecha acherecha ad olam, in order that I can do good for you and your children after you forever. When you do the good and what's upright in the name of in the eyes of Hashem, your God. What does it mean that you shall guard and you shall listen to everything that I have commanded you? That word, everything. So Rashi brings from the Sifri you should not select mitzvahs and say that these mitzvahs are important and these are not mitzvahs, that these mitzvahs are not important. But kol advarim, everything that I command you, you should be very careful to fulfill. Even not only the more serious mitzvahs, not only mitzvahs which are known as chamura, that they carry heavy penalties, but even the lighter mitzvahs, kol hadvor, everything. We have a Mishnah in Masechet Ovis, the beginning of Perek Beis, which Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi taught also. Rabbi Eimer, he starts to tell us, he tells us a number of things in that Mishnah, and amongst them, the vizoy b'mitzvah kala kebachamura, you should be careful with a light mitzvah, just like with a very serious mitzvah. And then he gives a reason: sheina to yedeya mahmskorin shel mitzvus, because you do not know the reward of a mitzvah. Maybe the lighter mitzvah carries a greater reward than the heavier mitzvah. So therefore, you must be careful with all mitzvahs. So this is a principle that we have. Kol hadvorim. The Maral Miprag in his Pirush HaNovus asks a number of questions. Firstly, he asks, we do know what a mitzvah kala is and what a mitzvah chamura is. The Gemara tells us that there are some mitzvahs that carry heavy penalties. If you transgress them, heaven forbid, there could be capital punishment. A person could be cut off by heaven. There could be corporal punishment. And these are known as chamuras, very serious mitzvahs. We have other mitzvahs when you transgress them, the punishment is much lighter. Some do not carry any punishment from the Beis Din at all. And these are known as kalis, a lighter mitzvah. So what is Rebbe mean to tell us when he says Shenata Yedea Manuskoran Shul Mitzvah, you do not know the reward of mitzvahs, which mitzvah carries which rewards. We see some carry heavy penalties and some very light penalties. Second question he asks, when it comes to priority, to prioritize the mitzvahs, you have two mitzvahs in front of you and you cannot fulfill both at the same time, which takes precedence? Or if it's a question where you can only fill one of the two, which should you do? This is what is known as dechia. We have a great number of governing principles and governing laws when it comes to this. For example, Ese Dechalesase. If you're confronted by two mitzvahs and one is a positive commandment and one is a negative commandment, the positive commandment takes precedence over the negative commandment. For example, tzitzis b'klai. You have a garment that is made out of linen and you have to put tzitzis in it. And the tchelis, the blue wool of the tzitzis, had to be wool. And that's klai. That's a negative commandment. Nevertheless, in order to fulfill the positive commandment of tzitzis, it took precedence. Or, for example, another governing rule is in regards to Mila on the eighth day, if it falls on Shabbos. Not allowed to desecrate Shabbos. The Bris Mila, the circumcision, is a desecration of Shabbos. Nevertheless, the mitzvah of Mila takes precedent over the mitzvah of Shabbos on the eighth day. Sacrifices were a desecration of Shabbos. Nevertheless, those sacrifices that had to come on Shabbos, they could not be postponed to another day. They took precedence over Shabbos. So we have a mace mitzvah. If a person is going to fulfill the circumcision of his son, or he's going to fulfill the Korban Pesach, and he comes upon a dead person that needs burial, what should he do first? Meis mitzvah takes precedence. He first must bury that person, and even though he might not be able to fulfill the other mitzvahs in time. So what does it mean that we do not know which mitzvahs carry the greatest reward? We see that many mitzvahs are categorized as greater mitzvahs than others, because they carry greater penalties when transgressed, and when it comes to the priorities, they take first place. So this he answers. This is not a kasha. This is not a question. We are referring, Rebbe here in the Mishnah is referring to schar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah. And that's what reformim, in the majority of cases in the Torah, the reward of mitzvahs were not revealed to us. Penalties of mitzvahs were revealed to us. Onshim. Yes. Torah, in almost all cases, told us that if you transgress mitzvahs, what are the penalties? But the reward, when you fulfill a mitzvah, that was not revealed to us in the majority of cases. The same thing when it comes to the prioritization of mitzvahs. Prioritization of mitzvahs has to do with what mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems must be done under all circumstances. It could be that a mitzvah which he deems must be done under all circumstances could carry a smaller reward than another mitzvah which carries a greater reward, even though it might take second place when it comes to priority. In other words, the fact that the Mila on the eighth day must be done on Shabbos doesn't mean that the reward of Mila is greater than Shabbos. Could be Shabbos has a greater reward than the Bris Mila, than circumcision. But nevertheless, the Almighty deemed it that Bris Mila must take precedence, must be done under all circumstances. So therefore, both from the penalties of the transgressions or the prioritizations of the mitzvahs do not shed any light on the reward of the fulfillment of mitzvahs. And this is what we are referring to. That the Torah did not reveal to us the reward of most mitzvahs in the Torah. The Maral goes further and he asks a further question. The Gemara in Masechta Chulin and Daf Kuf Mem Beis near the end of the Masechta in Perek Shiru HaKan, it's the Mishnah, it's the last Mishnah. The Mishnah states, "Le'itol Odom Eim Al Bonim Afila Letares Avetzera." Person, if he chances to see a nest of birds, and the mother is sitting on the Beitzim Ayafrechim, on the eggs, or on the young chicks, he's not allowed to take the mother. He's not allowed to take the mother or the mother and the children together. He has to send away the mother, free the mother, and then he can take the children. So it states a person must not take the mother, even if he needs the mother bird for a sacrifice. And then the Mishnah writes as follows, Umayhi mitzvah kalo shiki iser. How much is that going to cost him, the fulfillment of that mitzvah? It's going to cost him a very small amount of money. Because what is he losing by it? He's losing the mother bird. Without the mitzvah, he would have been able to take the mother and the children. Now he can't. So it's going to cost him very little. Omre teira leman yitav loch varach liyonim. The Torah says in that mitzvah, fulfill it in order that I can do for you good and give you length of days. Then how much more so when it comes to the fulfillment of mitzvahs chamuras, of the more serious mitzvahs in the Torah, how much more so will you have such reward? Now here he asks that alright, there are certain mitzvahs that the Torah did reveal the reward. That's one of them. The mitzvah Shiloh Hakam says that if you will fulfill the mitzvah of not taking the mother away from the children or together with the children, then I will give you length of days. But what does the Mishnah mean that from here we learn how much more so will you have such reward when it comes to the mitzvah Hamures, the mitzvahs which carry heavier penalties? We just said that one has nothing to do with the other. You could have many, many mitzvahs that carry heavy penalties and the reward can be even smaller. Because penalties we know, but the Torah did not reveal to us the rewards. So this is a further question that he asks. Then, similarly, he asks another question. And this is brought by Rashi here, right near where we're learning in Parshas Rei, here in Dvorin Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav Dalad and Chav Hei, it states, Leitech Lemu. The Torah says that you shall not eat dam, you shall not eat blood. Al Oret Tishpachena Kamoim. You must let it spill to the earth. Leitech lenu, do not eat it. Leman yitav lecho ulevanecho acharecho kisase ayosha b'nei Hashem. In order that I can do good for your children after you, when you will do what is upright in the eyes of Hashem. And Rashi brings a net posuk, a gemara from Masechta Makos Daf Chof Gimel, Say ulamad matnas chorin shel mitzvahs. From here we can learn how great the reward is for mitzvahs. Im hadam shenafshi shel odom kotzu mimem. Here the Torah is telling us that if you will fulfill my mitzvah of not eating blood, what does it say? I will do good for you and your children afterward. Now, he says, that's an easy mitzvah to fulfill. Because the average normal person does not have a great desire to eat blood in the first place. The fact is, most people despise the thought of eating blood. So that's an easy mitzvah to fulfill. And still the Torah tells us that you will have reward for this and your children afterward. So how much more so will the reward be when it comes to theft, or when it comes to arayas, forbidden unions between men and women, where there is a great desire for these averas and still one fulfills Hashem's mitzvahs, how much more so will he have reward? Now, this also seems to be going against the principle, because Rebbe was telling us, you must be careful with every mitzvah, because you never know which one has the greater reward. Now, you see which mitzvah is easy to fulfill and which mitzvah is difficult to fulfill. Because from here we see the difficult mitzvahs have much greater reward than the easy mitzvahs. Dam, not to eat blood, is an easy mitzvah, because the average person doesn't want to eat blood anyhow. And still it carries such a reward. So when it comes to the more difficult mitzvahs, like gezel and arayis, to take someone else's money, or to take someone else's wife, which is a difficult mitzvah, how much more so will you have such reward? And this is the same thing that we, similar, what we're asking by Shiluah HaKan. There the Torah said that I will give you wonderful reward if you will not take the mother bird together with the children. Now, how much is that costing you? It's costing you a coin. What is a bird worth? There's plenty of birds in the forest. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, if that's the case, if you get a reward and it costs you so little, so a mitzvah that costs so much, certainly you'll get much more reward. So what's Rebbe saying? That be careful with every mitzvah. Chol advori. Shenata yedei manas koron shel mitzvah. You do not know the reward of, you do not know which mitzvah will bring you more reward. No. The easy mitzvahs will bring you little reward. The more difficult mitzvahs will bring you greater reward. And this the Maral tells us, in order to answer this, he tells us another important principle. And this is a very important principle. He says that one must realize there are two types of rewards when it comes to mitzvahs. There is the reward which the mitzvah brings itself, and that's known as the schar mitzvah, the payment for the mitzvah. Then there's a second type of reward, and that's for the tircha and the tsar, for the trouble and the effort and the suffering that one had to go through in order to fulfill the mitzvah. And that's known as the tircha de mitzvah. And there we have a principle, the fum tsara agra, that in accordance to the difficulty, in accordance to the suffering, so is the reward. That's not schar mitzvah. That's not reward for the mitzvah. That's reward for the trouble you went through in fulfilling the mitzvah. In other words, for example, if you have a king and he lost something, and you find it and you bring it back to him, and let's say it was a jewel, so that jewel has a price, which is, it has a value, it's worth to him a certain amount. Let's just say that you went through great trouble and suffering in order to retrieve it for the king. Firstly, he might give you a reward for the fact that you brought his jewel back to him. Secondly, he will take into consideration now and give you a reward for all the suffering that you endured in order to do this. So we're speaking about two different types of rewards. The Gemaras that we cited, that Shiluach HaKam, not taking the mother together with the children, that's a mitzvah which costs us very little. We do not have to give up much for that. And if Hashem still gives us so much reward, so what about a mitzvah that costs us so dearly? That's referring to the Lafum Sara Agra. That's referring not to the Schar Mitzvah, to the reward of the mitzvah itself. That's referring to the reward for the effort, either for the physical effort or the emotional effort or the financial effort that one went through in order to fulfill this mitzvah. And the same with the Gemara in Makkos, that by fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah of not to eat blood, one does not have to go through such emotional or physical suffering. So how much more so when it comes to, if he's tempted, he has an opportunity to steal a great sum of money, or he's tempted by forbidden unions, and still he does not transgress the mitzvah, and there he had to go through great suffering, like the Torah tells us with Yosef HaTzadik. So then how much more so will his reward be? Now this is not referring to Schar Mitzvah. This is referring to the reward for the suffering that one invests in fulfilling the mitzvah. That Lefum Sara Agra, and that we know that in according to the suffering, so is the reward. But we are speaking about something else. Rebbe is speaking, and the Mishnah Novice is speaking about Schar Mitzvah, the reward for the mitzvah itself. Every mitzvah brings a reward with it. A mitzvah is like planting a tree, and a tree brings fruit. Makes no difference if it was easy to plant a tree or difficult to plant a tree. The tree brings fruit. And just because it's easy to plant a tree doesn't mean that there's going to be less fruit. And each mitzvah brings forth fruit. If it's a mitzvah that is enormously difficult, or if it's a mitzvah that you could fulfill just like that, each mitzvah brings forth fruit. Bein atah yodea ma'am schorin shel mitzvahs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not reveal to us the particular reward for all of his 613 mitzvahs. He revealed the penalties for the transgressions of them. He revealed the priorities of how he wants them fulfilled. He revealed the rewards, the formula for the reward for the investment of effort, physical, emotional, or financial effort in the mitzvahs. But the reward for the actual mitzvah, that in most mitzvahs in the Torah was not revealed to us. Therefore, it would be natural tendency that one will go to fulfill a mitzvah that in his eyes is an important mitzvah, and neglect other mitzvahs which in his eyes are unimportant. And that the Rebbe said, you might be making a great mistake, because the reward for what you deem as an unimportant mitzvah could be far greater than the reward for the other mitzvahs. And that's why it states here, Shemor u'shemata es kol advarim eila. Asher anechi mitzavcho, mitzaveko. Be careful with all of the mitzvahs. She'ein ato yudeya matnus chorin shel mitzvahs. Because you do not know, we do not know, the reward for each mitzvah. And in this, the Medrash Tanchuma, the Marad brings in Parshas Ekev, gives an example. Gives an example states Omer Vacha Moshe Lema Adova Deme Lemelech Shoye Le Pardes Vihikni Sham Pealim. There was a king who had an orchard and he brought workers Legila Lehem Schar Niti Osov. He did not reveal to them the value of the different trees. He had very, very valuable trees, and trees that gave forth very, very precious fruit, but he didn't tell his workers that. Which ones gave forth the precious fruit, which ones didn't. Shila gila lehem, I emri mezen the tia skora harbe v'neitin iso. Because if he would have told them that, so then they would have concentrated only on those trees and on those plantings, and the rest they would have neglected. So enimtzos meleches hapardis mixes betela or mixes kayemes, and we come out that the pardis, the vineyard, the orchard, was partially planted and partially left desolate. Kach lagila korish boruchus mitzvus kidei shioesim misholem. And so did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not reveal to us the reward for each mitzvah in order that we would not just pursue those with the greatest rewards and leave out the rest, but we would pursue all of the mitzvahs. The Baral goes further to explain that what governs the reward for a mitzvah? The reward is dependent on how close one comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he is the source of all bracha. And the closer we come to him, the more bracha we have. The closer you come to a fire, the warmer you become. Some mitzvahs have the capability of bringing us so close to Hashem. Other mitzvahs have the capability of bringing us even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those mitzvahs that can bring us the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they in return bring forth the greatest rewards. But again, we were not told which ones in most cases. Therefore, we have to be careful to fulfill them all. And this is also why Noral says, why is it? Goes further. He says, there's another reason also why we were not explicitly told of the particular rewards of each mitzvah, but on the other hand, we were explicitly told of the particular penalties of each mitzvah. Why is that? He says, the schar is called matan schorim. Matan schorim means, shenata yadea matan schorim, the giving of the reward. While the onshim, when it comes to the penalties, there it does not say matan, the giving of the penalties. The reward comes, as we said, from coming close to Hashem. When we come close to Hashem, we start to reap the fruits of that. Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that comes to us via Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is Ein Sof. He's endless. There are no limitations. If that's the case, then the reward he gives also have no limitations. And therefore it's impossible for us to understand exactly what the reward will be. And this is why it states Matan Schorim, because the reward is given by him. On the other hand, the penalties, he doesn't give the penalties. The penalties come, this is the klolo, the curse, that comes from hisrakus, from distancing oneself from Hashem. Just as the reward and the brocha comes from bringing oneself close to Hashem, and then we reap the brocha and the reward that comes from Hashem, the penalties come from distancing oneself from Hashem through not fulfilling the mitzvahs, through their transgressions. We distance Hashem, ourselves from Hashem. As you see, people who leave the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu directed us to go in, or mankind to go in, you see, they go further and further away. They go astray. The more one is distant from Hashem, it's like one is distanced from the fire. The fire doesn't give him the coldness. It's the fact that he has distanced himself. And this is why he's left cold. So the penalties do not come from Hashem. They rather come from the person. That's why we can understand what the penalties are. And they are revealed. But the reward, which is the Matan Schorim, the giving of the reward, that comes from coming with every mitzvah. It brings us close to Hashem, closer. Some mitzvahs are able to bring us even closer than others. The reward is that itself. You come to a fire, you have to become warmed by it. You come to the source of brocha, there has to be fruits. That's Matan Schorim, that's given by Hashem. And that's impossible for us to conceive what and explicitly, because just like it is impossible for us to conceive, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Now, even though he did not reveal to us the explicit reward of each mitzvah, he did tell us, though, two important facts when it comes to rewards of mitzvahs. And one is that the fullness of the reward, states, will be in the next world. Even though there's no doubt that from every mitzvah, brocha will come into this world also. But the fullness of the reward will be paid in the next world. But there are some mitzvahs that, even though their fullness will be in the next world, abundance of its reward will be in this world also. And that's the mission in the beginning of Masechet Peah, that states that Eile mitzvah she'odom eichel peiriseyam b'alem hazeh v'akeren kiyamis b'alem habo, that there are some mitzvahs that a person eats from its full fruits in this world. But even though he eats from his full fruits in this world, which should through this way eliminate the reward that there is there, will not eliminate its reward at all, but it will be also time, the reward will also still be there in the next world. And that's kibar aveim eichel peiriseyam b'alem hazeh v'keren kayem es leilam v'bo, kibar aveim, honoring one's father and mother, Gemilas Chesed, doing kindliness, and charity for other people. Havor Shalom Bein Odom Lechaveirei, bringing peace between man and his fellow man, and Talmud Torah, and the study of Torah. So, again, even though the fullness of the reward will go into the next world, because it's even impossible, it's impossible for this world to encompass the fullness of the reward of a mitzvah. It's like we said, because you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're reaping from his fruits. But still, every mitzvah will bring bracha into this world also. But there are certain mitzvahs that one can eat from the abundance of that bracha of the next world, in this world, and still not affect what's in the next world. Like it states in the beginning of Masech Tepeah, Eile mitzvah shodem eichel b'eile mazer v'kea keren kayemes l'eile mabo. He eats from the fruits in this world, but still the reward is lasting in the next world, and it's honoring one's parents, the acts of kindliness and charity to one another, the bringing of peace between man and his fellow man, and the study of Torah. And then, finally, the Maral writes something else that the Torah tells us in regards to reward. That even though the reward of mitzvahs were not revealed to us, that's bein mitzvah le mitzvah, which has more reward than the other. That's when it comes between one mitzvah and another mitzvah. But what was revealed to us is that even though we do not know which mitzvah carries more reward than another mitzvah, we were told that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, though, when it comes to the study of Torah, that carries more reward than all of the other mitzvahs. We were not told, in Atayadeas Manskorin Shil Mitzvahs, you do not know which mitzvah between all of the mitzvahs carries more reward than the other. But we were told that the reward of Talmud Torah carries more reward than all of the mitzvahs. And that's also in that Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Peah, in which it states, V'Talmud Torah keneged kulam, that the study of Torah carries more reward, or is keneged kulam, its reward equals all of the mitzvahs. And that is for the reason mentioned, because the reward comes through the fact that the mitzvah brings one closer to Hashem, who is the source of bracha. Just as a transgression distances one from Hashem, and from here comes, heaven forbid, klolot. There is no mitzvah that can bring a person so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the study of his Torah. That brings him closer than all of the mitzvahs. So therefore, from here he has his greatest reward. This gives us some insight into what we learned in the beginning of the parasha. That I place before you today blessing and curse. But what is it dependent on? It's not dependent on natural events. It's not dependent even on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's dependent on you. And how is it dependent on you? On your fulfillment or non-fulfillment of the mitzvahs. As a brocha, asher tishma mitzvahs Hashem Elokecha. The brocha will be dependent on you fulfilling the mitzvahs. Haklolo, and heaven forbid the curse, imlei tishma mitzvahs Hashem Elokecha. That will be dependent on you, on your non-fulfillment of the mitzvahs. This is why when we see, heaven forbid, great tragedy in the world, we have no right to blame it on nature or on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This unfortunately comes from what we learn here in the Torah. On the other hand, when we see Brocha come to the world, that also, that comes from the fulfillment of mitzvahs.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.